Welcome to Baskin and Phelps. I'm Jeff Phelps. Dan Menigan's behind the glass, but sitting in the Andy Baskin chair today. Guy with a windscreen that's the oddest shaped windscreen I think I've ever seen.
Well, it's a little deformed because it's been in my
smushed into your bag?
Smashed into my bag.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Daryl Ryder.
Hello.
They're bringing in Kyle Shanahan's court reporter to see if he wants to be the next head coach of this football team.
How's that going
to
go? Hey, we know about 10 years ago you put together this PowerPoint to get Kyle out of his deal, and then you left with him. But we love you now, and come on back.
By the way, culturally, nothing has changed in the building. We still have people that aren't coaches telling coaches who to play a quarterback. The truth.
How do you think that's going to work?
Probably not well, but we'll see. I'm sure if they throw enough in the form of zeros and millions of dollars his way, he'll cope and deal with it, just like every other head coach that's come through here has for a period of time.
Here's what's going on today in our show. Scott Petrak from the Chronicle-Telegram and BrownZone.com is going to join us at 11.
Scotty!
Our buddy from the Browns Radio Network, Tyvus Powell, will join us at 11:40. He doesn't get a Tyvus?
Hello, Tyvus!
There you go. Oh, we're going to do an NFL playoff rapid fire. What a great weekend. Wild card weekend was, there were some phenomenal games. The worst game of the bunch was not a bad game, and that was last night's.
Right, and it wasn't a bad game.
And it wasn't a bad game.
It just wasn't. It was a defensive slugfest.
Right. The others were extraordinary. So we'll talk about that. There's some goodies coming up in the show that you're not going to want to miss. Falcons owner Arthur Blank talking about what an owner should and shouldn't do. And it's not in relation to our owner, but I think what Blank said is fascinating. A Hall of Fame quarterback extolling the virtues of a Kevin Stefanski offense. That's coming up in the show. And, of course, we'll be just discussing this stuff all day long because it's cooking right now. So, again, here's where it is. Mike McDaniel, former Dolphins head coach, former Browns wide receiver coach, really good offensive mind, well-respected in the league, interviewing with the Browns today. Browns have confirmed that. John Harbaugh, according to Adam Schefter, has narrowed it down to about four teams, one of them the Cleveland Browns. That's interesting. Jay Glazer from Fox Sports saying the Browns really want to keep Jim Schwartz and are trying to tie him to any deal that they might do with another coach, which we're going to talk about because that one makes no sense to me. We'll explain that. Let's start with Mike McDaniel. You fire a coach who was an offensive coordinator, and after 6 years, and sometimes it's time to move on. And again, hard to justify 8 wins in 2 years.
Right.
Get all that. But the guy you fired is being highly requested by other teams for interviews. Kevin has, gosh, Daryl, Ravens, Raiders, Titans, who else is he interview with? There's somebody else too. So Kevin's already been making the rounds and is considered, the Giants.
Yeah, Giants, Raiders, Falcons, Titans.
There's four that he's definitely interviewed with already. So he's chatting.
I think Dolphins too.
So teams are wanting to talk to him, if nothing else.
Horrible coach. Good thing the Browns got rid of him. And nobody wants to talk to this guy. What a bum.
And then you're bringing in Mike McDaniel today, who I think is a really interesting guy, and I love listening to him talk. He's the anti-Kevin, as in he'll tell you something, but you might not understand a word of what he's saying.
That is true.
It really is.
If you want to know how the Mike McDaniel experience will go here in Cleveland, I advise you to go back and watch the Hard Knocks. I think it's the in-season with the AFC East or something. The Dolphins were featured. His team meetings are awkward. I will say that he is a very awkward speaker in team meetings, but he's also a very good teacher.
When you hear him in-game on live interviews, he couldn't be more cordial and everything else, I would think if the Browns fans who didn't like Kevin and his approach will feel exactly the same way about Mike McDaniel.
Right.
He's not a screamer, yeller, screamer in your face. He's more of a cerebral type of guy, teacher like Kevin is. I would think that the same folks who hated Kevin will hate Mike McDaniel.
Probably. And I mean, look.
If Mike were to get the job.
I think a lot of these guys aren't going to be liked by fans based off press conferences. And what I will tell fans is the press conferences are not supposed to be entertaining. They're not. They never have been. The difference is they're broadcast live
now. Just say that again, would you?
Press conferences are never meant to be entertaining.
There you go.
And they're also different now because we're all on stage asking the questions. There's no back and forth. There's no, you said this. Can you clarify that? You know, I just want to make sure I got that right. There's none of that.
You get called on, you get your chance, and then it's over.
Or you're, you know, competing with 50 other people in the room to try and get a question in and things like that. So, yeah, they're not meant to be entertaining. These coaches, their jobs are not to sit out there and entertain fans in their press conferences and tell jokes and knee slappers and all those things. Their job is to keep things as close to the vest as they possibly can, to say a lot while saying absolutely nothing, which is something that Kevin Stefanski was very good at. He'd answer questions. Now, he wouldn't actually answer a lot of questions, but he would give you something that you could at least, you know, use as a soundbite or as a quote. But, you know, again, you know, the whole judging coaches by press conferences thing, I think that's new to fandom because these things used to never be carried live. Now we carry them live. The team carries them live. Partners, you know.
Put on social media.
Yeah, you know,
they're everywhere.
Yeah, they get posted to YouTube, this, that, yep. And the other. And, you know, they used to be very informal settings, and now it's a very formal setting. It's just the whole thing has changed and evolved over the years. But
which is okay. But
there's a lot of really,
you do have to realize what it is.
Yeah, and there's there's a lot of really good people on this list, which now I believe is up to 12 for the Browns. There's a couple of surprising names on the list. There's a couple of names that not every fan has heard of on the list. And, oh, by the way, this coaching search is going exactly how Andrew Berry told us it was going to go a week ago.
From the outside looking in, if you're looking at 8, 10, 12 different candidates, it almost feels like you don't know what you're looking for.
Well, you don't know also, too, if some of the guys that you do want to talk to you, or if you're going to get the opportunity to pitch them and have them pitch you, say Mike McDaniel or John Harbaugh.
The organizations are getting interviewed by the candidates as much as the candidates are getting interviewed by the organization.
100%. So you got to cast a wide net. And Barry talked about this last Monday. I played a lot of that sound on my show with Nick Padone yesterday, just for fans to get a more crystallized picture and understanding of how this thing is operating. Because I understand where you're coming from, Jeff. The variety of names, the different levels as far as where they're at in their career. It like when you look at it on paper, I get it might look like an aimless coaching search because it's all over the place. But also at the same time, Barry said, "Hey, you know, some guys are going to be a fit for us that aren't a fit elsewhere." And no one interviewed Kevin Stefanski when we did, and we ended up hiring him, and he won 2 Coach of the Years. Now, granted, I don't know that you want to take a victory lap about hiring a guy you just fired, but that's just me. But I understand where Andrew's coming from, yeah, and the message he was, you know, trying to convey, not just to us, but to fans as well. So they said they were going to cast a wide net. I think the 12 names, I think you made the point pretty well. The mission accomplished. It's a pretty wide net.
Well, if 2 guys who you would think might be at the top of the list now were guys who weren't even available when Kevin was fired.
Correct.
Harbaugh and McDaniel. And those are the guys with coaching experience. We haven't heard Mike McCarthy's name. Are they going to talk to McCarthy? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know.
We'll
see. The young passing game coordinator of the Rams, whose name is out there right now.
Does Mike McCarthy even want to talk to them? Like, that's also, well, that's exactly. also part of this
yeah.
process. Like,
who knows?
Just because a guy isn't on the list doesn't mean that the Browns didn't have interest.
And they've interviewed Mike before, so they might, you know, maybe mutually they came to a conclusion about each other. Who knows? But it seems odd to me. All right, we're going to interview an offensive coordinator from Baltimore and Todd Monken. We're going to a passing game coordinator from the Rams, who's like 33 and a year out of being a receivers coach at Iowa State.
Right.
It's like, well, what are you really looking for here? And if you're interviewing guys who you think, okay, well, we're going to talk to these guys and then they can be coordinator candidates, you going to tell John Harbaugh who you think the best coordinator should be?
No.
If you happen to hire Harbaugh?
No.
Even if you hire McDaniel. Hey, by the way, we think this guy'd be a great offensive coordinator for you, even though we hired you because of your offensive mind.
Right.
It seems to me right now you're throwing a lot at the wall and just trying to see what sticks. And maybe that's the best way to go. I don't know. And ultimately, what Dan and I said, Daryl, what we would ultimately love is to hire your own John Harbaugh, your own Mike Tomlin, your own guy who becomes your coach for the next, you know, 8 to 10 years and becomes a coordinator who finds himself as a head coach.
6 years ago, they thought that was Kevin Stefanski.
And it was for a while. And then they turned away. I do find it interesting that, and I get it, I mean, we all know that it's actually true. Sometimes time for a new voice, sometimes doesn't fit, doesn't work in this situation. But I do find it interesting that in this cycle, the hiring cycle, Kevin's a highly sought-after candidate. As soon as Mike McDaniel was let go in Miami, he became a highly sought-after candidate, at the very least as an offensive coordinator. But teams are going to talk to him as a head coach.
Right.
And it's fascinating to me. Another team's cast-off might be another team's prize. And you're maybe just shuffling coaches here. Maybe you should have just stuck to what you had and worked your way through it, especially if you weren't going to change the general manager as well.
You're not going to get an argument from me. I'll say this about the coordinator thing. If you hire Dan Pitcher.
Yep, Cincinnati's offensive coordinator, who doesn't call plays.
Correct. You can tell him Jim Schwartz is going to be your defensive coordinator. You don't have to worry about the defense. You can pick your OC, but we got the defense covered. Now, Jim Schwartz isn't going to stay if it's Aiden Durdee, right? Defensive guy, or Chris
Jesse Minter.
Yeah, like if it's a defensive guy, there's no reason for Jim Schwartz to stay because you're sitting there saying, what the heck? I just gave you 3 great years. I turned Myles Garrett into a future Hall of Famer, and I'm not good enough to get the job? Well, no, I'm not going to stay. But if it's a young offensive guy, I definitely see a scenario where Schwartz would be willing to stay. He is under contract for another year.
See, that's when let's get into that next. If Jay Glazer's report is right, no reason to think it's not, and the Browns are trying to retain Jim Schwartz and put him with a guy they hire, it begs the question to me, why don't you just hire Jim Schwartz? The former head coach of the Dolphins, former Browns receiver coach.
And court reporter for Kyle Shanahan. By the way, should I explain the joke?
Yeah, go ahead.
So the reason why I call him the court reporter is because he's the one that typed up Kyle Shanahan's 32-point presentation. We say it wasn't PowerPoint, but it was 32 points of why Kyle Shanahan wanted and should be allowed out of his contract as offensive coordinator back in 2014, and obviously atop that list is, you made me play Johnny Manziel and bench Brian Hoyer.
I would guess that was point number one.
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah.
So that's why I make the joke that he was Kyle Shanahan's court reporter, because Kyle basically, they brainstormed the thing together and, you know, came up with it and presented it to whether it was the Haslams or Ray Farmer, I think, was the GM at the time, you know, whoever he ended up, you know, presenting that to. But so that's where the court reporter joke comes from, is he's the one
that
typed up the 32 point
memo.
Get me. My thing now is, I hope when he does the interview today, he walks in with a 32 point presentation of why he should be The replacement for Kevin Stefanski.
And he's funny enough that he might do that.
I really hope he does it.
Now, can I, before we get to the Jim Schwartz question, if you're Mike McDaniel and you have very high regard for Kyle Shanahan and you typed up 32 reasons why you should be let out of your deal for Kyle Shanahan, why the heck is he interviewing with the Cleveland Browns?
Because there's only 32 of these and he doesn't have one anymore.
I was looking for something a lot more in-depth than the obvious, but I was thinking the same thing about the obvious. Seriously, if you're McDaniel's like, I helped the guy get the hell out of here because he didn't want to be here anymore because he thought this place was whatever it was.
And the people running the show are still running the show.
And the same people are still here as far as ownership.
Also, it pays more.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. You wanted football reasons why? Well, they got a killer defense, future Hall of Famer in Myles Garrett. And, well, that's kind of, I think, where the good stuff ends.
Two first-round picks.
You got, you know what? You got Fannin. You got Judkins. You got Dylan Sampson. How can you not get excited about those guys? I mean, you don't have a quarterback or an offensive line or wide receivers, but details.
So on the Fox pregame show, Jay Glazer, and Jay gets a lot of information. Say what you want about Jay. He gets a lot of information. He was talking about all of the head coaching searches going on. When he hit the Cleveland Browns, he said this. All candidates, they're being told that the Browns want to keep Jim Schwartz in there as defensive coordinator. That begs so many questions, and we're going to touch on most of them. If that's the case, why are they even interviewing even one defensive coordinator? Any guy who's a defensive coordinator now, twofold, would want to do his own defense.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly,
and by the way, not to cut you off, but a couple of these guys don't run a 4-3, they run a 3-4.
Which doesn't seem to fit with what the personnel is here,
right?
Since they've loaded up on defensive tackles and defensive ends. And if you're Jim Schwartz, would you just, if they brought in a defensive coordinator to be the head coach and didn't hire you, I'd be steamed. And I might retire. I'd certainly ask out of my contract.
So if here are the coaches that Jim Schwartz will not work for.
Let me get a pen.
You ready?
Yep, go.
Aiden Durty.
Who is the Seattle
defensive coordinator. Doesn't call the plays on game day. He's the Alex Van Pelt of the Seahawks defense.
British guy.
He is. Yeah. He's a Brit.
Yeah.
Chargers defensive coordinator, Jesse Minter.
Yep.
If they end up talking to him
supposedly
and hiring him.
Supposedly they want to.
Yes, they do. They have requested an interview for him. Rams defensive coordinator, Chris Shula. He is the grandson of the late Hall of Fame head coach, Don Shula.
And coach of John Carroll.
I knew
Dave's dad.
Basically half the NFL these days came from John Carroll.
Sure seems that way. Way to go, Blue Streaks.
I kind of feel like it just...
Between them and Mount.
Needs to be on the resume. You got to have John Carroll on your resume. Packers defensive coordinator, Jeff Hafley.
Who, by the way, might see his offers dwindle after giving up 25 points in the fourth quarter to the Bears, but that's neither here nor there.
Not great.
No.
Also, he was here as well. He's a former Browns defensive assistant. So anyone that was a defensive coordinator for another team, if they go that direction and hire them to be head coach, Jim Schwartz is out of here. Book it.
Why would he stay?
Exactly.
And why would that coach want him?
Correct. Okay. So that I do believe that part of these defensive coordinators being interviewed are in the event that if they hire an offensive guy and Schwartz says thanks but no thanks.
Because I interviewed for the job and you don't want me. And
correct.
Maybe I want to retire.
And there's nothing else for me to do here.
Or maybe I want to go work for Kevin Stefanski again.
Right. Then now you have a list of
defensive guys
that you've interviewed for your head coaching job that you bring them in as defensive coordinator and assistant head coach. So they by fancy title, they get a promotion, so you can hire them. So it's not a lateral move. So
if you're Jim Schwartz and you interviewed for the gig, Dan made a great point when we were chatting this morning. He said, if they're not going to hire Schwartz.
Which, by the way, this is the second time he will have interviewed for the head coach job.
Yeah. Because he did back in 2019.
I think he was in the 2020
in the search. Freddie Kitchens, or was he in the...
I think he was in this Stefanski search.
And
the 2020 Stefanski search. I know that made no sense because 2019 was also a Stefanski search.
And he was with Andrew Berry in Philadelphia in 2019.
Correct.
If you're Schwartz and you don't get the job, well then, and they're so gung ho about keeping you, then why don't you get the job?
Right. And
why wouldn't? And Dan made the point. Did he have nothing to say about the offense that impressed them? And they just thought, oh, boy, it's defense only? And I don't know.
Right. We don't. And that's always a possibility, right? But here's the thing, too. You got to understand about, like, defensive coordinators clearly understand offense because it's their job to defend it and stop it.
Yeah.
So they know offense, right?
It's the key.
Now, they may not have their, you know, they may have their defensive lingo, right? Their defensive dictionary. And maybe they don't have as expansive of an offensive dictionary. But so that's where I come out on the Jim Schwartz thing. I'm a big fan of Jim Schwartz. I think he did. I really think he did a hell of a job here the 3 years that he was here.
Talking about him in the past tense.
Well, I'm talking about him as, you know, potentially, yeah, moving on if he's not selected. I think that's a real possibility. But also at the same time, if you, again, you hire a guy like Dan Pitcher, I could see a scenario where Schwartz does stay. Or they say to him, you didn't get the head job, but, you know, we'll give you a title promotion and make you assistant head coach because Bubba Ventrone is not going to be here anymore. Because now, Bubba Ventrone... See, people forget, Bubba Ventrone not only was special teams coordinator, he was assistant head coach.
If you're Jim Schwartz and you don't get this gig, would you stay just because, all right, well, there are only 32 defensive coordinators? Or would you want the, you know what, out of here?
After 3 years, I probably, if I were him, I'd move on. I'm putting, now, you asked me what I would do. That's why I'm saying that, okay? I don't want this to come off like Daryl wants Jim Schwartz to get out of town. No, I in a perfect world, I would like Jim Schwartz to remain the defensive coordinator. But I understand the real world doesn't work that way.
In a perfect world, would you want Jim Schwartz as your head coach? I would think, Daryl, he would be an unexciting move that could end up being a really good move.
If Todd Monken's my offensive coordinator or Joe...
Tommy Rees?
You're not getting...
Could Tommy Rees stick
kept
around?
Kevin, you should have just
that's,
kept.
That's what
just
I would think.
Kevin.
If you're gonna promote Jim Schwartz and keep Tommy Rees as offensive coordinator, then why'd you get rid of Kevin?
Right. And this is the challenge for the Browns. Is like Tommy Rees is very well regarded around the NFL. Joe Brady, the Bills' offensive coordinator, he is a head coach in waiting.
By the way, did you see the tush push yesterday that gained almost 10 yards for a touchdown?
Well, it was almost a touchdown if it wasn't for that pesky replay review.
Amazing.
Nate Shieldhouse, he's the Rams pass game coordinator.
Is he old enough to vote?
But he has that Tommy Rees upward trajectory of going
to
be
you're
a head
hoping
coach.
To get lucky and find the next Sean McVay.
Right. I mean, if you got
or Mike Tomlin.
If you got Sean McVay coffee at any point in your life or emptied his trash can in his office, you are an NFL head coach in the making.
Exactly.
You guys find it odd Jim Schwartz hasn't talked to anybody else in this cycle?
I've mentioned that last week, and I might tell
you something.
Well, that's the weird thing, yeah. And anybody else agree with me on this? Mike McCarthy's name has really not been front and center on some of these searches now.
Right. Well, here's the thing, too, about, you know, Jim.
I do find it weird that Jim's name is not mentioned because he built a really nice defense here and has done a great job and has coaching experience, but he's pretty far removed from that coaching experience in Detroit.
Yeah, I mean, and it's interesting. You talk to the folks up there that covered the Lions during the Jim Schwartz era, and we talked to them about how he is here and what he's done here, and it's like the polar opposite. So,
in other words, he's cordial here and...
I don't know that that's how I would frame it, but just how he handles things and handles situations and things like that.
You have a real
and,
Belichick and look, approach in Detroit.
There's something to be said for, you know, learning from your experiences as well. But no, what I was going to say about Jim is I do feel like he is deserving of consideration around the NFL for head coaching jobs because of the work that he has done here. He's done a really good job here.
Sure he has.
I'm a big fan of Jim, and I felt like he deserved the interview with the Browns. I didn't feel like it should have been just a courtesy or a token type of a interview situation. Like I legitimately felt like he earned that opportunity through his work. He's a really good football coach. Whether or not he fits what they want, well, we're going to find out ultimately when they, you know, make the hire that they're going to make, whether it's later this week or next week or the following week. But I am a big fan of Jim Schwartz. I think he's done a great job. He's deserving of head coaching opportunities and interviews. But right now, it only looks like that the Cleveland Browns are the only team interviewing him for that opportunity, which I don't think Jim Schwartz is going to get the job.
If he does,
I think it's a plan. It's
fallback.
A plan B, C, D, E.
Yeah, complete fallback.
It's a Mike Patton situation.
Yeah.
It's a Rob Chudzinski situation.
That
it's a Chris Palmer situation.
Option G.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder if he's got the Norv Turner stink on him. You know, Norv ran into the same thing where everybody looked at Norv Turner and was kind of like, "You're an offensive coordinator. You're not a head coach.
You're a great offensive coordinator. We love you.
Yeah, I love having you 3 feet away from the head coach. I don't like you being the head coach."
If Jim were available as a defensive coordinator, he'd get 10 right. interviews.
Yeah. He'd have a job tomorrow.
Yeah.
And he might even be able to pick his job tomorrow. But he can't take Myles Garrett with him.
I do find it interesting that the Browns apparently like him so much that Jay Glazer reports they're trying to tell anybody that they interview his head coach.
Well, at the end of Jimmy Haslam's press conference, he said,
"Oh yeah, we want to keep him."
Yeah. Like there is some like poker face and keep it close to the vest and all that that goes on, and then there's just some more just the unvarnished truth. And that was an instance where Jimmy Haslam was really honest. Yeah, they do like Jim Schwartz and think he's done a good job, as they should.
I guess as they should is absolutely right about that.
So. Pro Football Talk just posted this.
Yeah.
Some college coaches are quietly looking for a path to the NFL, mostly because I think college football has become a raging dumpster fire with NIL and the transfer portal and all those things.
But they can't let it get out
because then it really messes up their current program.
Sure.
Is there a college coach, Jeff, that you would like the Browns to pursue?
Pursue.
Yes.
This might not be overly popular. I think Ryan Day would be a very good NFL coach.
I think so, too.
I like his, you know, he was a quarterback coach with the 49ers. He has some background. I like his offense. I like his approach. I think he'd be a good NFL head coach.
And I wouldn't be crushed if he ever left Columbus.
No?
No.
Why? Because you like him or... You don't think he's a good college coach, or you're not an Ohio State fan?
Oh, I'm a diehard Ohio State fan.
Then why would you want a guy you think is a good coach to leave?
I'm massively disappointed in how things played out this year.
Okay, but you think he'd be a good NFL coach?
I think that
he seems to have more of an NFL vibe to him.
He has a very CEO style to him, which I think really, really works. Or would work in the NFL sphere.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a good coach. And you look at the games that he's lost, like, they're not embarrassing losses by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, each of the last 2 years, he lost to, you know, national championship contenders, right? The national title run was a thing of beauty.
And they've lost two games this year, and those two teams are meeting for the national championship.
Correct. So, like, you know, it's real hard to be
negative,
bitterly angry over that, right? But no, I think that I do agree with you. I think that Ryan Day's style and how he just how he operates, I think would fit really, really well in the NFL.
I would agree with that. Tony Dungy, the former coach of the Buccaneers and the Colts, was on a show recently, the Ryan Ripken show, and was asked about coaching searches and everything. And he made the comment, and he said, well, let me give you an example. He said, I get called all the time by teams wanting my input, you know, and wondering what I think. And he said, I've asked the question to NFL owners, well, what do you want in a head coach? What do you want? And then he said the best example that he could give was Dan Rooney told him, well, you know, we're here in Pittsburgh. We don't want to do a coach search every 5 or 6 years. We're in the AFC North, in a pretty rugged division. We think defense is critical, you know, our climate and everything else. He said, so we're kind of thinking defensive-minded head coach, and we don't want to do this every year, so we're looking for a younger guy. And so we'd like a defensive-minded, younger coach with upside. And Tony said, that's perfect. You know, okay, from there we can try and find guys. And he said, and as a result of that philosophy in Pittsburgh, and Tony certainly wasn't involved in the first one, right. But they, you know, they hire Chuck Knoll, then they hire Bill Cowher,
yep,
and then they hire Mike Tomlin. And that's it since the 1960s.
Stability.
Right. Do you think the Browns know what they want? I mean, that's real specific. Steelers wanted defensive-minded, young coach we can build with because we don't want to do this all the time and we want stability.
Right.
And I look at the number of guys that the Browns are talking to, and they have some interesting candidates, but they're young coordinators. They're really young coordinators. They're two guys who were, you know, one's in his 60s and has been around 18 years. He's a no-brainer to me. But it seems like there's so much, you know, we're going to talk to our offensive coordinator, our defensive coordinator. Those might have been obligatory interviews, but
right.
They were obligatory. They were done nonetheless. And I just wonder, are they just throwing such a wide net, Daryl, that there's no real, this is what we think is going to work here?
Well, they don't have what I think the Ravens and the Steelers have, and that is an identifiable culture that they want to continue.
Yeah.
Right.
Which the Steelers had under Chuck Knoll.
Right.
Follow him with Cowher, follow him with Tomlin.
I mean, they're going to...
I mean, it's the same thing.
Right. The Ravens have had, what, 3-4 coaches since moving to Baltimore?
Ted Marchibroda.
Brian Billick.
Brian Billick and John Harbaugh.
John Harbaugh. So this will be their fourth head coach.
Yeah.
Okay. Two of the previous three won a Super Bowl.
That worked out.
Okay.
And Ted Marchibroda was a no-brainer for them because they were bringing the franchise back and he was beloved in Baltimore.
Now, there are some Ravens fans and whatnot will say, well, Harbaugh cashed in on what Billick left behind. Okay, that happens all the time in sports. That's why coaching changes have been made, right?
Tomlin did the same thing.
I don't think anyone said that about Ty Lue, that he capitalized on what David Blatt built.
No.
Right? No, I don't think. I think everyone's just like, thank God David Blatt's out of here, right? I don't think anyone said that J.B. Bickerstaff built upon the 3 months of
John
having
Beilein.
Guys run around chairs, you know, John Beilein built with the Cavs.
Stan Heath took Kent State to the Elite Eight with Gary Waters' team. That happens all the time in sports.
Right. So, like, I just, you know... I think that that's part of the issue for one of many issues that the Browns have is they don't have an identifiable culture. They never have.
Well, they've been looking for it for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, they've been searching for it. We thought that maybe they found a little bit of it under Kevin Stefanski, right? They have a defensive identity, but I think defensive identity is different from culture. So, like, you know, the you hear people talk about the Steelers all the time. They have a type. They have a type of linebacker they like to draft. They have a type of defensive end or defensive tackle or wide receiver. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I don't know that the Browns have ever been afforded the luxury of having that. Because, especially on the offensive side, it's been just throw stuff against the wall and hope something sticks. Because, especially at the quarterback position, right? Yeah, you can have your, quote, prototypical quarterback. I want a guy who's 6'3", 6'4", 225 to 250 pounds with a rocket for an arm.
Good luck finding that guy at a certain time.
I wish you luck finding him. Right. And also, too, does he have between the years what's required to do that job? Does he have the physical durability to do? You know, I mean, they're just.
There's a lot of stuff.
You can have a type two, and it's not going to work out for you.
Isn't that the truth? Ryan is in Las Vegas, where they're also looking for a coach. Hello, Rhino.
I am actually in southern Georgia. Tomorrow in Florida for 3 months.
Why does it say Las Vegas on my screen, Rhino?
I can assure you, I told Mennington, southern Georgia, man. I'd like to be in Vegas. But
I figured you knew who it was if I put Ryan in Vegas. We're just cutting out the middle, man.
Mennington, you're the man. Hey, Daryl and Jeff, I'm going to chime in on the Browns just as the world turns coaching, head coaching search. And again, me as an avid Browns fan, just everyone's on the table, man. And again, this is a ridiculous thing. In no way, shape, or form am I saying this is going to occur. But everybody with Cleveland ties, I'm analyzing, even seeing Bill Cowher on TV yesterday. I'm like, I wonder what not. But again, he's not there. There's guys like Nick Saban and Bill Belichick and just all these different guys out there. You alluded to, obviously, head coaches in college that just are had enough with this this transferring frenzy. Again, that's on the table. Ryan Day, I mean, this is fun at the same time.
But Rhino, does it concern you that all these guys are being thrown out there? And I just wonder if there's a clear vision as to what they're looking for.
Yeah, and again, I agree. Barry, obviously, and Haslam are the two individuals that you really should be monitoring the most. Who do they envy and like as, you know, guys that they feel that should fit the system and what they want to do, which is winning, obviously, which is all the Browns fans want as well. Same time, fitting the regime, fitting, you know, if we get this guy, then, you know, obviously we're going to get rid of our defensive coordinator. There's so many abundant questions. Again, I truly feel that Barry and Haslam are the two guys you guys should be really monitoring the most of what they feel is what they should be getting. And again, in yesteryears, we saw a coaching frenzy hiring and firing for many years with Haslam and GMs as well. Again, I feel that, you know, Stefanski should have stuck around. At the same time, guys, there are so many guys on the table. I think Harbaugh's number one for me, and there really is a lot of second fiddles. I just hope they get it done right. I, as a Browns fan, just like you guys are watching there with my popcorn, just hoping to get it done right and listen to you guys giving us all the information. With that being said, guys, great show as always. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Rhino. In southern Georgia, apparently, not Las Vegas.
I didn't know
Or North Olmsted.
I did not know there were VIPs on Baskin and Phelps every day.
Rhino travels the country for work.
Supposed to know who they are regardless of what's on the screen.
Calls us from all over the country.
Well, that's very nice of him. We appreciate that
very much. Yeah, we certainly do. There's so many guys that are being thrown out there.
There's only 12. 12 is not a lot.
What?
12's not a lot.
With a variety of backgrounds, which makes me think.
Okay. They're very open-minded.
All right, let's go with that. Frank's in Kent. Frank, welcome.
Hey, guys, how's it going there today?
Fine, now, Frank.
Now, the other guy just mentioned Nick Saban. Well, that's what I was going to mention. Look, Saban's the kind of guy who's going to come in here, much like Ryan Day, but I believe Saban's a better coach statistically. But Saban's not going to take any guff from Haslam, who's the big operator, you know. Haslam should have dumped Barry a long time ago. Bring Nick Saban in and get the win.
All right, Frank. Remember, Nick Saban, part owner now of the Nashville Predators, owned by Bill Haslam, Jimmy's brother. So he just bought in.
Nick Saban's also enjoying his time on College Game Day.
And he does a great job in the Aflac commercials. It's a really nice blue blazer that he has.
At his age, would you really want this headache?
Nope, I wouldn't.